It's time for baseball and Information Radio on the road. Now let's head down to Fifth Third Field, where Norm Schrein and Noel Baldwin are talking to the members of the Dayton Dragons baseball franchise.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Fifth Third Field. I'm Norm Schrein, and across from me is
Noel Baldwin.
And that's right, and we're going to start the program off with a bang here. I mean, we've got a starting pitcher, Noel, to speak with us this time, you know, so they didn't ask us to speak to the umpires or anybody like that.
Does anybody ever do that?
Or the popcorn sales. So we have with us Wyatt Strahan, and he is a starting pitcher. He will be pitching again Wednesday. So if you want to see how Wyatt pitches, come down Wednesday. But in the meantime, you can come down to Fifth Third Field tonight and get a good game in as well at 7 o'clock. So we're still 50 minutes away from that. And Noel, let me have you go ahead and start your conversation here. You got a couple questions you'd like to ask Wyatt?
Yeah, sure do. First of all, Wyatt, yeah, welcome to Information Radio here in Kettering and Dayton.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
And I'm gonna hit you up with a question right off the bat here, Wyatt. I can see that you are actually from California.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that things are a little different here in Ohio than they would be in California. Could you tell the listeners some of the differences, some of the striking contrast between the two areas?
Yeah, I would say out here in Dayton, they get a lot more rain than we do back at home. The overall pace of things is a little bit slow, which I personally like, and there's a lot less traffic on the roads here in Dayton than there is back in Los Angeles or Orange County. So I think those are the biggest differences I see. Others that come to mind, a lot of people on the road don't use their horns as much as people back in California, but I think that's just California itself.
Okay, and I notice that you have a real good, what I consider a real good ERA. What would you say is your favorite or your best go-to pitch, a pitch that you would rely on when things are tough?
I mean, I would say every situation is different, but I'd say for the most part either my fastball or my curveball. I think for most this year, that's been getting me in or out of jams, mostly not getting into jams with that. So I'd say those are my two go-to pitches. It just depends on what day, which one to use.
Well, now here's kind of a question I've thought of here lately. As a fan sitting here watching games, it seems to me like the strike zone itself has shrunk through the years. I see a lot of pitches that I think, well, that should be a strike, but it's a ball. Do you have the same feeling about that? Is the strike zone actually getting smaller through the years?
I would say it varies umpire to umpire. I think there's some days where it feels like it's getting a lot smaller, and there's some days where you feel like you can pitch off the plate. But I think it just depends. Some days an umpire will give you a corner, and some days he won't. So I think it just depends umpire to umpire.
Well, right here with the Dragons, you have Tom Browning as a pitching coach, and of course Tom Browning is well known here in the area. How does it feel to have a fellow by the name of Mr. Perfect here as a pitching coach?
It's awesome. He's an absolute blast to be around, and I mean he did it for so long, and he was at the highest level doing it for a long time. So he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he's just a great personality to be around. He knows exactly how to use his words with kids in our age group.
What about those instances where the fans, all 8,000 umpires out here in the stands, they really disagree with a call? They're catcalling, they're stomping around. Is that good or bad? How do you look at that?
Well, I'd say the fans here in Dayton are some of the best fans I've ever seen. So they don't really give us a hard time if we're not playing well. They give the other team a hard time. So I personally enjoy that. But I mean, I don't have a problem with anything they do.
And here we have, I'm going to say, a record. The ballpark here, the Dragons, are known to have sellout crowds. How does it feel for you to walk out there and you're in front of a full stadium?
It makes the game that much more fun. Go out there and you see all these people in the stands. It's a lot more fun to go out there and pitch. You have a lot more adrenaline flowing. It just makes the game go a lot faster, and it's a blast.
Well, so far I've been asking polite, nice questions. I'm going to ask one, maybe put you on the spot just a wee bit. What would be one of the most embarrassing things you've done or been involved with out there on the field? Anything that strikes your memory as, oh my goodness, did I really do that?
Nothing off the top of my head, but I would say personally, I fired a couple to the straight to the backstop without even touching the catcher's glove. So I'd say that's not very good. But I think that's probably the most embarrassing it's got this year.
Were there any runners on when that happened?
Not that I can remember, but there was. Now that I think about it, there was one time they were doing a stunt back here with the guys with the pogo sticks, and one jumped over, and I was warming up, and he crossed my vision, and I almost squared him up on his pogo stick, so that was pretty bad.
Oh boy!
Yeah, you want to keep the fans, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. Try to make it a little bit more exciting.
Well, it was fortunate too. I mean, it could have been a lot more embarrassing if there was a runner on the base when that pass ball. That's what they call a pass ball, right?
Oh, that'd be a wild pitch if it doesn't even get close to the catcher's glove.
So, tell us, you graduated from USC,
mm-hmm.
Or is that right, USC?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
USC LA. What did you major in?
Real estate development.
Well, that has a lot to do with baseball.
a lot of real estate out here.
Did you play baseball for USC then? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was recruited there to play baseball and went in there. Didn't really know what quite I wanted to major in. Took some class in some different areas, and then I had a buddy that was in real estate development, and he was like, hey, you should really try it out and give it a look. These professors are fun to be around. They really teach you the material, and so I did it, and ever since then, I just ran with it.
And we were talking earlier, you had played a little bit up in Billings, mm-hmm. Montana, and then you got to the spring tryout with the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And how was it with playing with some of the major leaguers?
I was in minor league spring training, so I was around those guys quite a bit. I mean, they're just so professional in everything they do, and they play at the highest level. So you try to take anything away you can from them. So that was definitely quite the experience, and I'm fortunate to be able to go.
And do you know when there's going to be scouts here?
No, I have no idea personally. I don't know if anybody has the insight on that except for them, because you just go in there and sometimes guys will see him and guys won't, but no, we have no idea.
And Wyatt, I've got a question for you here. Traditionally, pitchers are not known to be good hitters, and I've always looked at that as maybe not the best approach. You look to me as a big, strong, tall guy, good athlete. What's your opinion of pitchers being in the batter's box and being good hitters also, besides being good pitchers?
I think hitting just takes so much time, and you try to put all your effort toward pitching. So that's probably some of the reason why pitchers aren't very good hitters. But for the most part, those hitters don't get enough credit for what they do. It is hard to go out there and hit a baseball as far and as hard as they do. So I don't know how a pitcher could be a good hitter too, but I know some guys can.
How long do you think it might take for a guy in your position who's doing darn well to make it on to the big show?
Oh, I have no idea. You just try to take it one day at a time. I think those you just try to go out there and play as hard as you can and have a good game every day you get out there, and hopefully that all takes care of itself. So I'm not really sure.
When you're facing a real good hitter, and I see a couple of these Fort Wayne guys are 300 hitters, how do you keep your nerves under control? Do you get real nervous, or do you just let it roll and throw the ball?
Yeah, you just try to pitch to your strengths, and you try to find their weaknesses. But at the same time, if you don't really know the hitter, you haven't faced the team yet, you just try to pitch to your strengths, and hopefully your strengths are better than theirs.
Normally, your catcher is going to be calling the pitches. Do you frequently or occasionally maybe disagree with what he's calling? Does it depend on the catcher? How do you guys normally work that out?
It changes from outing to outing. Usually I don't disagree with what the catchers put down too often, because they see these guys over and over and over again every night. So they usually have a pretty good idea what they want to do. And so I usually just, whatever they put down, I try to put it in the best spot I can.
So who's the boss of the pitch? Is it the catcher or the pitcher?
Man, I don't know. That's tough. I'd say the catcher has... It's probably 50-50.
Okay.
Because if the catcher's adamant about you pitching something or a certain pitch, he's going to keep putting it down until you call time and have him come out there, and then he's going to explain it to you why.
Okay. Do they... From a fan in the stands point of view, you look at... you know that if the pitching coach comes out twice, you're done, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you get any stall tactics in this game? Does anybody try to actually do a little, you know, slow the action down a little bit, especially if things aren't going quite your way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you try to have a catcher that's like an extra coach out there so they can come out there. And almost all the catchers I've had in the Reds organization, they do a pretty good job of knowing what's wrong when you're not anywhere close to the strike zone or you're getting hit hard. So they usually come out and try to slow things down for you, try to give you a game plan for the rest of the inning or for each batter.
So basically have him come out rather than the pitching coach, right?
Exactly, exactly.
You don't want him to come out.
Exactly, that way it doesn't waste a visit.
Okay.
As far as umpiring, would you say that umpiring is, for the most part, it's good? It's good calls, it's accurate calls by the ump for the most part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say they're out there trying to do their best. They're not trying to gain an advantage for any team, and they do the best they can. So we really can't ask for more other than that.
Well, tonight you're not actually suiting up for the game because you had pitched, and you mentioned that you spend some of your time in the stands. People probably don't even know that they got players sitting in the stands with them, then, right?
No, you're right with that one. Yeah, for the first 2 days after I pitch, I'll be in the dugout on a chart, and then for the last two, I'll be in the stands doing a chart, so I'll try to be camouflaged in the stands.
So sitting in the stands with the fans, you kind of get a different view of what they think is going on out on the field then as what you might interpret is going on when you're in the dugout. Then,
yeah, right? I would say that they have a different perspective than what I have, and I think that they have some good insight to the game, and so it's fun being in the stands sometimes.
Okay. You have anything else, Noel?
Yeah, one more real quick question, then we'll let Wyatt go. During the off season, are you out there throwing the ball frequently to keep that arm in shape?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're out there. They give you quite a break period to try to let the muscles relax and get back to normal. But after that, I'd say after Thanksgiving, you're out there every day trying to get better, trying to tweak things, just try to get better from last season.
Wyatt, I've enjoyed talking to you.
A couple other things, Wyatt, just satisfy my curiosity. How often do you get home? Do you get home at all during the season now, or are you away from California now until like September?
I was lucky enough to go home for the All-Star break, so I went home for roughly 2 days. But other than that, no, you're usually out here for it's right around 6 months, and then you get to go home for five, and then spring training for 1 month.
So I know people have asked me, so do the players, I mean, they have like sponsoring families for you guys, or you get your own apartment, or how's that work?
Out here we have host families, and so a couple of us will bunk up with a family who's nice enough to take us in, and they're all great setups from what I've heard, and so we get lucky enough to have those host families out here.
Okay, but apparently that doesn't happen throughout
baseball,
then, huh?
No, I think this is the last level where you have host families, and from there up, you have to go get your own apartments and such.
Okay, so mm-hmm. You get home cooking there then too, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and they really know how to do it.
All right. Well, we've been speaking, and very fortunate to speak with Wyatt Strahan, and he is one of the starting pitchers for the Dayton Dragons. By the way, what is your number, Wyatt?
24.
24, and he'll be pitching on Wednesday starting. So if you have tickets Wednesday, come on down. If you don't have tickets on Wednesday, come down anyway and watch Wyatt pitch and see if you can get some pointers. And then look for him in the stands. He won't be wearing his uniforms, but I can tell you he's got red hair and it's short. So and look for and he'll be somewhere in section 110 there. So now you're not going to be able
cover
to hide. I blew your cover, so come down and watch Wyatt and the Dragons. And again, thank you very much, Wyatt, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. We have another guest that will be coming up then, whose name is Eric Deutsch. And he is the executive vice president of the Dayton Dragons. And we're going to get him fixed up here in a minute. By the way, we're doing something different this time. And if you get a chance to visit our website on 1610.info, you can actually see what we're seeing right now as we're streaming. Actually, it goes the other way, Eric. We're streaming video from our little vantage point here, and you can. So if you go to 1610.info, you can see what we're seeing, which is just fun and giggles type of thing to do. And now we have Eric is fixed up here with us. And again, Eric, and thank you for your card. I see by reading that and my notes here that you're the executive vice president of Dayton Dragons, and you've been with the Dragons since day one.
Yes, Bob Murphy and I worked with the previous ownership group in Las Vegas from 93 to 98, and this Dayton project started to gain momentum in 1998, and we started coming out here on visits, waiting for final approvals from the Reds and other folks to get this ball rolling, and so we moved out here early in 99 and been here ever since.
And you got a great ballpark here, and it still looks as new as it did the first day. You know, to the average person, I'm sure you notice things along the way, but I mean, it's in great shape. You're still having sellout crowds.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year, another sold out year. A lot of new things this year, and we try to add new every year just to keep the ballpark fresh. This year, we've got our new video board, we have a new tap room, we have a new barbecue smoker, we've done some new things on suite level, added some more ADA seating for some fans who are having trouble getting the ballpark can get to the ballpark. So we're working on another 4 or 5 year plan with owners on some things for the future, just to make sure that the ballpark looks good, different, neat, up to speed every time you come.
Now, was it last year or the year before that you put down the new turf?
New turf was about 3 years ago, so those usually have about a shelf life of 10 to 12 years, so it's in great shape. We added more irrigation lines, more drainage, so it drains very well.
Every time I come out here, I'm saying, I wish my yard would look this good.
Yeah. Everyone says that, yes.
Noel?
Yeah, so Eric, it sounds like continuing improvement may be at least one of the secrets, or the secret, to success of the team. And obviously this team, this is quite successful with the sellout games and so forth. And some of your players here have been very successful. A lot of these players have gone on to the majors. Eric, would you know offhand roughly how many of the Dragon players have made it to the big leagues?
Yeah, I think we're up to 72 now. And I think an interesting stat was, I think about a couple years ago, a couple of our staff went down to a game on an off day, and I think in 2013 there was many times where, depending who the starting pitcher was, and if maybe Brandon Phillips had a day off, that 8 or all 9 position players in the pitcher were former Dayton Dragons. And I know that for opening day this year, we had 7 of the 9 on the field for the Reds in the 2015 opening day game were former Dragons. So we've been very fortunate to have Homer Bailey, Adam Dunn, Jay Bruce, Joey Votto, Johnny Cueto, Todd Frazier. The list goes on and on. It's great to see them as young men do well here and then see them work their way up and now they're household names on TV and then playing in 40,000-seat facilities across the country.
Well, and speaking of household names, your pitching coach here is a fellow by the name of Tom Browning, and to me that's a draw. That's impressive to having, I'll just call him Mr. Perfect, right here at Fifth Third Field.
Yeah, we've been fortunate to have a lot of really great coaches with a lot of great experience. Ken Griffey Sr., Tom Browning, and just a whole bunch of coaches over our 16 years have had a lot of major league experience, to where you've got young kids striving to be where they once were. I'm learning from some of the guys who've had some great experiences in the big leagues.
Besides baseball itself, the Dragons put on other events, community service type things. Eric, give us kind of a rundown on the different events other than strictly baseball that the Dragons promote here.
Yeah, we've always wanted Fifth Third Field to be a destination not only for baseball games but other events happening in downtown. So over the 15, 16 years we've been able to program a lot. We've had 4 major concerts, 2 political rallies. We have our annual 5K, annual beer fest event, annual family movie night. We have usually about 18 to 20 high school baseball games here every April and May when the team's on the road. High school baseball teams will move their games here. We've had college tournaments, a lot of company outings. So there's a lot of activity at Fifth Third Field each and every year. We're heading into our 5K walk season, where we're going to have 5 charities use the facility in the off season when the season is over as a kind of a hub for their big fundraising walks: Alzheimer's group, the heart group, cancer group, buddy walk, and juvenile diabetes research foundation. So that allows them a great facility with a lot of overhead costs that they don't have to absorb going elsewhere, and it becomes a very good beacon for our community to get together and collaborate on a lot of different initiatives.
Well, that's a whole long list of events and activities. And Eric, right here, let's say at the park itself, during the games, the park here, the Dragons, are known for the family entertainment. Are you guys constantly working on that, improving, updating, thinking about the family entertainment, thinking about what works, what doesn't, and where you might improve?
Yeah, I think one of the things we've always kind of hung our hat on was that we wanted to be much more in a baseball game. From when you entered the park to the last fan left and every place in between, could you have a good time with your ushers, with the customer service reps, with the video board, the in-between innings, activities, mascots, replays, music, video clips. so that in case you're at a game and we're maybe losing 6-1 or winning 6-1, you still have a great time and your family had fun, your kids got on the video board, they got an autograph with the mascot or a picture with the mascot. And that's not so much about wins and losses, because right now these kids are working real hard, and if they do well, they'll get called up to higher levels. So it's all about just kind of having the big party every night, and oh, hey, there's a baseball game going on as well.
And Eric, you mentioned that video board in particular, and I just want to say that is well done. That's good. That's a great improvement over what was out there before, but that's nice.
Yeah, technology, as you know, just changing so quickly. The new HD technology that comes out, and it's 5 times bigger, perfect, clear picture. We're very excited about it. It's always good to have new toys to play with at the stadium. So.
And Eric, what about, let's say, some upcoming events in the near future? Is there something you'd like to mention that the Dragons will be putting on in the near future?
I'd say that our biggest two events coming up is in August. August 8th is our annual beer tasting event with Heidelberg Distributing. I think we're going on our 10th year of that. It's a Saturday from 2 to 6, a real fun day where you get to sample a lot of different beers that Heidelberg distributes in the community. Obviously, with a lot of craft beers becoming very trendy and popular, that should be a very fun event. It's always a good event. And then later in August, we'll also have our Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield Health Fair out in the front of the ballpark before one of our games. And also later in August, we'll have our family movie night. When the team's on the road, families can come into the ballpark, get a blanket or some seat cushions, sit out on the field, and I think we're going to be watching the Lego movie. So it's kind of like the drive-in movie without the vehicle, and very good kind of Norman Rockwell Americana way to watch a movie.
And you've hosted some not unusual events, but I mean kind of one-time events as well here at Fifth Third Field, in addition to your routine non-baseball events. I know Barack Obama, when he was running for president, appeared here at Fifth Third Field, the opening of the, the flight?
Inventing flight opening ceremony.
Those were here. Are there other events like that maybe I don't remember? I remember those too. I'm sure there's been a lot more.
Yeah, John Kerry also rented the facility in 2004, so I guess on the presidential campaigns we're 1-1 as a Democratic host.
Keeping it balanced.
Yeah. But we've actually had 4 concerts here, and those have done very well, where we've had about 8,000 to 9,000 people in the facility, about 4,000 to 5,000 on the floor of the field, and the other in the seating bowl where the stage would be at center field. Our first one was in 05. We had Bryan Adams and Def Leppard. Then our second one was Counting Crows Live and Collective Soul. We also had a kids concert with some of the acts and talent from Disney's High School Musical programs. And then our last concert was in 09 with Bob Dylan, John Mellencamp, and Willie Nelson. So every year we definitely put our irons in the fire with some of the concert promoters and try to get them here. Competition is fierce. We're in between Columbus and Cincinnati and a lot of other places. So, you know, with baseball going on half the summer and concert tours needing to be exact on dates, sometimes we hit, sometimes we miss. So we're looking at that again for 2016.
Well, I imagine when you have events like that and they're out on the field, the groundskeepers are probably pulling their hair, right? So wondering what's going to happen to their turf.
Yeah, there's a special thing, a flooring called Porta Floor that goes down that does a very good job on the floor. But yeah, we're definitely involve him and all the load in the setup, as making sure that the field comes out as good as possible at the end of the show. And so far, we're about a perfect batting average on that. We've never had an event here that has caused us to delay a game after that event has left. So
now, during a game like tonight, I mean, you're normally here for all the games, and.
Yeah, well, most of our staff is. We'll definitely take some dates off for family activities or just kind of rotating people in and out, but it's a lot of fun. You know, office kind of shuts down a little bit at 5:30, but then we'll move our efforts out into the ballpark, and we host a party 70 times during the year for 8,000 people, and that's a lot of fun.
And so you're out walking among the fans as well, so they might stop you if they know who you are on the way. And
yeah, it's kind of nice. Having 16 years of baseball and a lot of fans have come back each and every year, you almost seem like you know a lot of the folks, if not all of them. You have their annual group outings, you have season ticket holders you see from time to time, and over 16 years a lot of things have changed, where a season ticket holder might not be married, might not have kids, might not be a grandparent yet, or their kids are little and now they're, you know, almost grown adults going off to college. So you've kind of seen some of the generational growth, and it's really nice. It gives that hometown feel. You might run into people from church or your bowling league or your dentist or whomever at the ballpark. It's just kind of a good social event.
Well, Eric, I sure appreciate you taking time out of your busy day here at Fifth Third Field to speak to us about the sort of the background things that happen here. It's a lot different than how a player sees it from the management end and the things that you have to address. And I know you're a busy man with that, and we sure appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
Our pleasure, anytime. Thanks very much for having us.
Okay. And I want to make one final real quick compliment. The food downstairs, the food vendors, the food is darn good. I just want to compliment you and the team on that. The hot dogs, the pizza, the funnel cakes.
Good.
It's all good.
Well, we eat here too, so if it wasn't good, there'd be a little grief to pay downstairs. So,
thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was Eric Deutsch, and he was the executive vice president of the Dayton Dragons. Been here since day one, so that's quite a while. Another guest, Jason McKendry, and he's here standing by. We're going to get him set up here, and Jason is the marketing manager for the Dragons, and we're going to find out just exactly what that is that the marketing manager it does. I mean, I know what marketing is supposed to do, but I imagine it's a little bit different in baseball. And Jason, thank you for being with us this evening.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
And you can tell already he's a busy man because he's taken off his radio here. And he's got his Dragons polo shirt on. He's ready to go. So what exactly does the marketing fellow do here?
Now, a marketing manager is actually within the sponsor services department. So all the sponsors that we have here, you know, we service those accounts. We're the day-to-day people for each of those accounts. Now, a lot of us have, we handle the larger events here at Fifth Third Field. So the Great American Beer Tasting, like Eric had mentioned before, the Subway 5K that we had here just a few weeks ago, the Anthem Health and Fitness Carnival that we have coming up on August 16th. We're the people that actually start planning all these things months and months in advance. I've been planning for beer tasting for months now, since almost last year.
Okay, so one event's over and you're ready. You're starting all over then for the next one.
Correct. We start usually within a month or so planning for next year's.
So you're almost working year round. We'll say winter time. You're still getting with it.
You could say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us now. Do you have any upcoming events that maybe our listeners might be interested in attending here?
Yeah, like Eric talked to you guys about before. Coming up on August 8th, just a few weeks away from today. The Great American Beer Tasting. We're going to have over 100 different beers to sample this year, which is the most that we've ever had. So with a $25 ticket, you come in, you have a great time from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., and you get to sample 20 different beers. And you can have 20 different kinds. You could have 20 of the same one. It's up to you, but there is a little bit of something for everyone at this event.
Okay, have you personally been able to check out the beer and make sure that it's... Is that part of your job, being able to make sure that the beer is good?
After the event is done, a little quality control.
Quality control. Yeah, after the fact.
Yes.
After the fact,
yes,
quality
correct.
Control. All right. Do the Dragons also have any promotions that are going on at the stadium for fans to participate in?
We do. One of our great promotions that we have here, and there's a lot of Major League and Minor League teams that have this deal, but ours is definitely one of the best and one of the cheapest, is the Dragons Kids Club. It's only $15. What they get? They get a T-shirt, they get a Dragons hat, a notepad, a backpack, a tumbler. You get 4 tickets to a Dragons game, and you get 2 tickets to the Kids Club movie night, where we're featuring Sandlot this year. So all that stuff added together, you know, you're getting for only $15.
Okay, and our heater and gym, are they part of? They fall under the marketing as well.
They're actually under the, part of the entertainment team.
Entertainment team.
But
okay.
We use them for a lot of our events as well.
I was going to say, you see them in other places other than Fifth Third Field.
You do. A lot of our sponsors utilize the mascots every year to help get the Dragons' name out there.
Noel?
Do clients typically approach you because of the Dragons' success, or is it also a mixture of you going out into the field here locally and regionally and approaching potential clients?
You know, it's a little bit of both. A lot of places will come to us and see what we have going on here, the success that we've had over every season here in Dayton, and they want to transfer that over, and they want to use us as a marketing tool, you know?
And I notice up here at the upper level of the stadium here, we have a lot of company suites. Do you get involved in that, promoting company suites?
A lot of the suites that we have up here, we have different sponsors in them each and every night. So there's some sponsors that have a suite for every night, and there's some sponsors that have, you know, one or two suites a year. So it's a little up to them and how they want to market to their employees. You know, some of them will come out to meet with clients and tell them about their business, and there's other ones that will use them for company outings just as a simple thank you to their employees.
And, of course, the Dragons are a Cincinnati Reds farm team. Do you coordinate, or is your work intertwined with the Reds organization?
A lot of Reds' doings with the Dragons goes through our operations team. It'd be more of a question for Mr. John Wallace.
Also, with the advent of Twitter and Facebook and all these other types of social media, can they find you guys on social media?
They can. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find us there at Dragons Baseball.
Okay, and I guess, of course, Dragons have their own webpage as well.
Yep. Right? DaytonDragons.com. You can find us on there. You can find out about all of our events, all of our promotions. Tickets to upcoming games, everything you need, you find right there.
Okay, so is all that stuff, the social media and the webpage, does that also come under kind of marketing, or is that a sort of an offshoot?
It comes under marketing, yeah. Okay. I run the social media pages, okay. As well as our radio announcer, Tom Nichols. So we keep a handle on that and see, you know, kind of the pulse and what's going on out there, what Dragons fans are thinking, what Dragons fans want. And you know, we're always looking for ideas and the next big thing.
So during the course of a game, you're out mingling in the crowd and getting ideas from fans then?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. Do they give you a lot of ideas?
They sure do.
Okay, on the subject of tickets, the Dragons have the sellout streak, but apparently maybe some tickets are still available. I think you're looking at maybe some 8-game and 9-game packages. Are those still available for the fans?
Yeah, we have 8-game, 9-game. We also have a 5-game plan this year, so where people can come out. You know, get around one game per month, which works really well for families. And with these 5-game plans, also is included for this year a Todd Frazier bobblehead. So everyone loves bobbleheads. Everyone loves them for their kids, for themselves, for the adults.
Yeah, I got a whole closet full of bobbleheads.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's say if you are one of the season ticket holders, give us just a brief idea of the process for like upgrading those seats from season to season.
You know, for upgrades, every year when it comes time to renew your season tickets, you know, we have a really, really high renewal rate where we keep the same season ticket holders year in and year out. But if seats do, for whatever reason, pop open, you know, you can request the new seats. You say a lot of people want to move towards home plate. You know, we can see what we can do each year when doing that. Here at Fifth Third, when I haven't seen a lot of this at other places, a lot of people request to be up on the second deck seating. As you can see, you have a fantastic view of the game. And also, you know, it's in the shade a lot of times.
Well, if you're sold out for almost every game or every game, how can you do better? How can you be even more successful than you've been in the past?
Well, you know, for most games we still have lawn tickets available, so you can come down, you can purchase lawn seats for the game last minute if you are looking to get those seats. But you know, like you said, we are looking for the next big thing, so. We have an expression here just called antennas up, and we're always watching other teams and see what they're doing, watching stories in the news, seeing what's happening, just trying to stay as current as we possibly can, and giving people the upgrades that you know, they almost expect.
Jason, as a marketing person here, as an employee of the Dragons, you're here a lot, spend a lot of time here. Do you have a lot of contact with the players? Have you become acquainted with players who have gone on to the majors?
Some of them, yeah. You know, we have a great program here. It's called the Baseball Buddies, Kroger Baseball Buddies. And it's for kids in the area, ages 7 to 13, and they register at Kroger's. They get a chance to win an experience of what it's like to be a Dragons player. So they come in pregame, and they get their own jersey, and they get their own number. And they get to hang out in the dugout before the game. They get autographs. They get their own picture taken. They get their own baseball card. National anthem comes on, and they get to stand out in the field with their player while the national anthem is happening. So, to answer your question, yeah.
Okay. Jason, opening.
You just brought something to mind to me, the national anthem. You know, yeah. They have different groups that sing that. Do you guys recruit these people, or is that part of what you do, or does that come under entertainment too?
A little bit of both. Okay. Entertainment side helps a lot with it, and on the sponsor services side, It's Dayton Daily News as a sponsor for Field Mall and Dayton Mall in the winter. And people show up and they try out for the national anthem.
They never asked you or I to sing the national anthem. No.
No, they have not.
Have you ever tried out?
I never have and probably won't.
Okay, Jason, I just understand that you've got to get out to what you normally do best, and we're going to let you go. Jason McKendry, again, the Dragons Marketing Manager, thank you for spending some time with us.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for speaking with us, Jason.
Thank you.
Okay, Noel, we're, of course, coming up close to game time. And again, by the way, if you want to see what we're seeing, and you can get to your computer and get to our website, we're also streaming some video right now from our prestigious location. And, of course, go to 1610.info, 1610.info, and you go down there, kind of scroll down past the UD logo, and you will see the Ustream video, and take a look at what we're seeing as the shadows are starting to creep across the field. And the teams are warming up, and so far. So even if you can't get down here tonight, you can at least see for a little bit what is going on. And Noel, it's been here the last time, so anything change
Yeah, been a couple of years. Been looking forward to doing this. The one big thing that really impresses me, of course, this ballpark always impresses me, but this new video board, if you've not been down here to a game, you need to come down here, see it, check out this video screen that they have. It really is, it's high quality. And besides that, the whole stadium here, it's well done, it's clean, it's family oriented. And Norm, this evening, we're looking at teams warming up on the field, and it's an absolutely wonderful evening for baseball right here in Dayton, Ohio, right here downtown at Fifth Third Field. This field looks absolutely immaculate here at the moment. The opposing teams are limbering up, warming up. The baselines are chalked. The batter's boxes are chalked. Home plate is bright white.
They're even rolling up the red carpet. I'm not sure what they had that out there for.
That's right.
And they got two young ladies doing it, too.
And I guess they can, handle that carpet. Yeah, oh, they maybe they, maybe so, maybe not.
They didn't roll it up all the way. They should have given it a couple more rolls. But, yeah, and again, there's plenty of time to get down here to see this game. You know, baseball doesn't necessarily happen quickly, so it should be plenty of time if you're in the Dayton area anywhere to come down and see the game. Or you can listen to it on the radio. Tom Nichols will be broadcasting it. Speaking of which, Tom Nichols, we have an interview that we did with him earlier so that we could have this little segment in here. And then we'll be back after our little talk with Tom. So let's take a listen to that.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Well, I am with Tom Nichols and Keith Rad, who are the broadcasters for the Dayton Dragons. And I know, Tom, you do both radio and TV, I think, don't you? At least I think I've heard you on TV.
That's correct. You have. We do 140 games here, all home and road games. The road games and the home games are all broadcast on our flagship radio station, but we also televise 25 games per season on WHIO Digital 7.2, which is Time Warner Cable Channels 23 and 372. And we've been doing TV here really from day one. It's all an in-house production and a real nice setup that we've got available to us. We've upgraded a lot of the TV graphics this year to try to make it more of a network-level presentation. So that's part of what we do as well. 25 TV games, mostly Thursday, Friday, Saturday night games.
I noticed when I tuned in to 7.2 on one of the games, I was saying, oh, the video's a lot better this year.
Yeah, we've gone to high definition, and fans who come out here to the ballpark will also notice the high-definition scoreboard that we've added this year. It's the clearest scoreboard in all of minor league baseball history for that matter. It's, I think, five times larger than our old video board, and that's been a big addition. But back to your question, TV broadcasts are clear. We've got high-definition cameras, and again, we've put a lot of money into the TV side to try to upgrade the overall quality of the production, and that's paid off this year for us.
Okay, and for those who are not familiar with how broadcast work, there's usually a guy that calls the game and the one that provides what we call color. And Keith, I guess you're the color man, right?
Yeah, when Tom and I are on radio, we Tom will do play-by-play, and I will do color. And then for three innings a night, I'll get to do a little play-by-play. Third, fourth, and seventh innings of play-by-play. But when Tom is doing radio, I'll provide a little nugget or two here and there. And then when Tom goes over to television, I'll have the nine innings on radio. So it's a pretty sweet deal.
That sounds pretty good. You get the whole thing to yourself, or do you have somebody who becomes your man for color then?
I will have someone to help out. Mike Vanderwood, who is a former director of media relations and broadcasting here. He was with the Dayton Dragons when the team started, and he has since moved back to Dayton after a stint with Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, which is a Triple-A team for the New York Yankees. So he'll come back and he'll join me on radio. It's always good to have him back, and he's good friends with everybody around here, so and a joy to be on radio with too. So,
and Tom, I'm always amazed at the layout up here in the press box, and of course, we don't really get into too many professional press boxes. We're more at high school and college football and basketball, and you're always at the mercy of what that team might bring. But you guys do you have a nice air conditioned place, big windows, and usually a good assortment of food. So do you usually get your dinners down here most of the week?
Yeah, we actually do. And we can't take credit for the press box because it was part of the original structure. And the ballpark itself, you know, is now in its 16th year of operation. Still looks pretty new. The organization has put a lot of money in keeping the ballpark look good. And again, this year we've added some, you talk about the food, we've added some new food around the ballpark that any of the fans would have the ability to enjoy. We've got a new smoker this year, so we smoke our own chicken and barbecue, and that's a great addition. And we've added some other stands as well to the ballpark. So whether you're a kid, we've got a special kid stand this year that kids love, or an adult, there's something for everybody. But the press box itself, we love working here. It's a great place to work for us. Keith and I, as we mentioned, we enjoy working here in this press box. I go on the road, so I see the other side sometimes, and there are some nice ones, but there's also some older ones that could use a little upgrade as well. But this is a great place to work.
Have you been up to the Fifth Third Field in Toledo yet?
I have not been up there. They're a Triple-A team of the Tigers in the International League. I've not seen that ballpark. As you mentioned, that's one of several stadiums sponsored by Fifth Third Bank. There are actually three in our league. This one, the one up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the West Michigan Whitecaps, and the Kane County Cougars in the south west side suburbs of Chicago is also one. All have all those in common.
And Keith, in your job of providing color, do you have like a stat monitor in front of you that you're able to kind of glance at what has happened?
Yeah, actually, every day I get to the ballpark, I put together the stat pack that the broadcasters use, the managers will use, the coaches will use. And I was actually, my dad was here over the weekend, and he was looking at it, and he said, how do you absorb all this information? It's situational stats with runners on base or runners in scoring position with two outs and lefty splits versus righty splits. And I probably have lost some people already because it's so much information. But, yeah, if there's a certain stat that sticks out, I'll try to throw that into with Tom. And if there's a little tidbit of a story about somebody, we always try to incorporate that as well.
And of course, you guys have a great spot to be able to tell what is happening down there on the field. We're just slightly to the right. Well, maybe your spot is right behind home plate, but where we are is just slightly to the right of home plate. So are you able to tell the difference, say, between a slider and a sinker, or well, I guess that's the same thing, or a curveball? Are you able to tell that pretty well from up here?
One thing we'll use as kind of an assist for that particular topic is look up at the video board. It'll have the speed of the pitch, and so even if you didn't watch the pitch come in, you can look up at the video board, and based on the speed of the pitch, for example, if it's over 90 miles an hour, we know that's a fastball. If it's in the low 80s and he throws a changeup, probably a changeup. Maybe if it's in the high 70s, it's going to be a curveball. So that's a tool we use as well. But yes, from the angle we sit at, we can tell whether there's break on the ball. Not as well as like the scouts who are, you know, 5-6 rows behind home plate. They'll see it better than we do. But we can see whether there's break on the ball, whether it's a fastball or a straight pitch. We're, as you say, we're a little bit to the right of home plate. Now when we're on TV, we're almost directly behind home plate, so we can see if the umpires are on target with their calls as well.
And there's a lot of fans in the stand, a lot of unpaid umpires in the stands that don't always agree with the official umpire. But I'm sure this has never happened, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So has there been a pitch that when you were on radio, because I know you wouldn't get away with it on TV, that you called the wrong thing that came in there, but you just keep right on going there, and it might have been a curveball? Do you just kind of go with your gut on that?
That has never, ever, ever happened. You know, minor things like that, yeah, you go with your gut. You don't go back, really, and correct yourself if you think for a moment after the pitch came in, you know what, that probably was a fastball. And sometimes, Keith, we'll see a pitch come in, it'll look like a straight pitch, and we'll look up the gun, we'll call it a fastball, and we'll see 82, and we'll go, well, that must have been a changeup. But it happens from time to time. Hopefully we don't have any major things where we've got to go back and explain why, you know, we called an out and the guy's still on the base. That would be a little bit more of a problem, I think.
Well, the reason I ask you that is since we have all volunteers and we went and did some UD games, and one guy came in and said, well, I can't really tell if that's a – you know, if it's a curveball or if it's a slider. I said, you're on radio. Nobody's going to know the difference, you know. So tonight's game, tell us a little bit about the who the Dragons are facing tonight.
Well, the Dragons are 12-12 in the second half. I should say this is preface this part of the conversation, but we play what's called a split-season format. That means we play two distinct seasons within the overall season. Each half is 70 games. At the end of the first 70 games, the teams that are in first and second place have qualified for the playoffs. They're in. The other six teams in the division are going to play the second half to try to get in the playoffs. We finished third in the first half. The top two get in. That means we didn't get in. So now we've got 70 games to go. We've got to finish first or second in the second half. We're 12-12 right now, so we're right in the middle. The team we're playing right now is tied for second place, Fort Wayne. We're going for a three-game sweep against them. We've won the first two in this series, and this is the third and final game of the series here tonight. They're the San Diego Padres Farm Club, and they've been a little bit up and down this year, but they're in second place right now, so this is a team we really would like to beat.
And, of course, game time tonight is 7 o'clock, so you got time to get down here. You can always find a seat somewhere at Fifth Third Field. That's not a problem. So who's the starter for the Dragons tonight?
Starting pitcher for us tonight would be a young man out of Westminster, California, by the name of Tyler Malley. He's a good prospect to someday play for the Reds. He's 20 years old and drafted and signed out of high school by the Reds. He's had a real good year for us. In fact, he's tied for second in the league in wins, and should give us a good game tonight.
All right. Well, I want to thank both Tom and Keith. Right? Yeah, Keith. I had to look at my notes here for taking the time to talk to us. I know you guys have a lot on your plate here ahead of the game. It's not just a matter of just walking in, sitting down, and starting out the game, because they may have made some changes in the lineup before you actually go on the air then.
Yeah, sometimes that'll happen, and we get here roughly before noon. I'll get here around 10, and yes, our job is a little bit more than just hopping on the air at 7 o'clock. It's a lot of media relations, but Tom and I both love it. It's really a thrill every night. It's almost cheating. You know, you get a great job because you get a free seat in the house every night, so it's really something.
And on the really hot days, you get an air-conditioned seat. So that's, or on the wet days, you get a dry seat, right? So
that's
very good. Well, Tom and Keith, thank you very much both for taking time to speak with us, and have a good call of the game tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Say, does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Okay, Noel, the national anthem actually means it's time for us to go over here and sample some of this food they got up here.
Absolutely.
And take information on the road and pack it up in the bag and be ready to, we will be back on the air again, well, I will, this Saturday, 2:15 p.m. down at Riverscape at the Celtic Fest.
Celtic Fest.
Yes. And by the way, we'll leave our camera on here for a few more minutes while we're doing this. If you want to see what's going on here at Fifth Third Field,
You'll be able to see a little bit of video of it before we pull the plug on that. And again, the website for that is www.1610.info, 1610.info, and just go down there and you'll see the YouTube, Ustream link. So, Noel?
Yeah, and we want to remind everybody this is Information Radio, based in Kettering here in the Dayton area, and we do provide non-commercial, non-profit services to organizations here in the greater Dayton area. We're on 1660 AM around the clock. We provide the Voice of America news, we provide financial updates, we provide local news, we provide outdoor news, and we provide upcoming events for everybody living here in the Dayton area. So tune us in, 1660 AM Information Radio.
Okay, and with that, we're headed to the table with the food, and we'll see you down the road again with Information Radio on the road.